Greetings, friends, and welcome to another program of Search the Scriptures. One thing that we always say on this program is that we will go into Scripture and we will look at the Scriptures and we will make sure that what we are telling you is not just religion of men or traditions of men, but the Word of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh. The last couple of programs, we've been discussing the third commandment. The third commandment. You know, if you talk to most people and you ask them, do you believe in the commandments? Most people say, of course I believe in the Ten Commandments. Yet as you start going down, you'll find out that they don't keep the Sabbath day and they don't even know, a lot of them, what the Heavenly Father's name. So these are very, very important questions to ask. And I know years ago with God, some of the great men in the early part of the 20th century thinking about these things was the scripture in Proverbs 30 and verse 4. Proverbs 30 and verse 4. It says, who has gone up to heaven and come down? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in his garments? Who has made all the ends of the earth to rise? What is his name? And what is his son's name? Come on, surely you know. Surely you know. And in the last couple of programs, we conclusively proved that in your Bible, almost 7,000 times, the translators of the Bible have taken out the personal name of our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, and have replaced it with generic titles like Lord, and even worse, the name of the Babylonian deity called God. If you did not get to hear our program yesterday or the day before on this subject, you can always go to our website, www.cohwh.com, www.cohwh.com, and you can get any of these radio broadcasts online. You can download them for free, and you could listen to the broadcast on the name of Yahweh. There's two parts to that. Today I want to get into, though, the second part of this. The second part. What is his name, which we proved in the last two programs, but what is his son's name? What is his son's name? What is the name of our Savior? If you look in the world today, there's almost 7 billion people, an amazing number. And out of that 7 billion people, more than 2 billion people are what they call Christians. Catholics, Christians, people that believe in the New Testament and will tell you they believe that Jesus is the Savior. They'll believe that Jesus is the Savior. What I want to show you today is that our Savior's name, though, is not Jesus. How can you know that right off the bat? We went into this in our other message on the name of Yahweh a little bit, but our Savior was born where? In Israel, right? Right where I'm doing this broadcast, the law will go forth from Zion in the word of our Heavenly Father Yahweh from Jerusalem. And I am doing these broadcasts directly in the land of Israel. That's where me and my wife live. It's where we host the three pilgrim feasts during the year over here, particularly Pesach and Sukkot, but most of the time Shavuot. And we know that our Savior was born here in the land of Israel. If you read your Bible, you'll see that he was born in Bethlehem. He spent most of his childhood in Nazareth. His ministry was all around the Sea of Galilee, and I don't think anybody doubts that. I mean, if anybody does, it ain't even worth really arguing about, because it's very clear that our Savior was born in Israel. So he was born in Israel, and one of the things that makes him the Savior, there's over 300 messianic prophecies in your Bible, and one of those prophecies is that he would be the son of David, you know, King David. He would be from the lineage of David. So we know that he was a Jew, you know, that he was a Jew here, and we know that he spoke Hebrew and Aramaic. English is a language that's only 400 or 500 years old. It's not an ancient language, but the ancient language of Hebrew and also Aramaic, which is like a dialect of Hebrew, was spoken in the first century. So considering that in Hebrew there are 22 letters that were originally pictures, it's a language that goes back, an ancient language that goes back to Phoenician and then to Hebrew, but it's one of the most ancient, if not the most ancient language. Oh, excuse me. And the language of Hebrew has 22 letters, and it does not have the letter J, amazingly enough. So, again, trying to prove the point, our Savior's name could not be Jesus. Where did the name Jesus come from? Well, when your Bible, your New Testament, was translated, and we'll do a whole program on this, on the Aramaic origins, maybe even more than one program, of the New Testament. But the New Testament was originally written in Aramaic. There's much proof for that. And then later on, in the 2nd to 3rd century, it was translated into Greek. And from Greek, you have the name that you get in your Bible, that's Iesus, is the name in Greek, which they transliterate into Jesus, or Jesus, which, believe it or not, has some correlation to the pagan god Zeus, Iesus, the son of Zeus. So, clearly I'm going to prove to you today, in the next 20 minutes or so, that our Savior's name could not and was not Jesus. Now, I want to say right off the bat, I'm not doing this to fight, to put down, to take away from any miracle that was done in the name of Jesus, any prayer that was answered in the name of Jesus, you know, any healing that was done in the name of Jesus. That's not my point here. My point is not to degrade people's faith, you know, in what has been done. I think we would all agree that our Heavenly Father and our Savior, although their name is extremely important, that even if we didn't know their name, if we were praying to them, we're praying to the person that is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and even though if you incorrectly knew him as Jesus, when his name is actually Yeshua, he respects that. So I'm not here to debate or to, like I said, degrade or put anyone down for a miracle that happened, because people will say, well, if his name isn't Jesus, why was I healed in the name of Jesus? Or why did I do this in the name of Jesus? And it seemed to work out. Well, because our Father is merciful. You know, he has a lot of mercy. And like I said, if your faith was in him, even though you may not have known his proper name, you know, he may have honored that. But what I want to do today is I just want to clearly show you from the Bible, first of all, and also if you look into archaeology, if you look into history, you will find out that clearly your Savior and my Savior, the person in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the person who has fulfilled all 300 messianic prophecies, was named Yeshua, the Messiah. That was the name that was given to him from birth. And like I said, the Father's name is Yahweh, the Father, and the Son is Yeshua. And we'll go into some scriptures showing this. Like I said, the first thing, how you know it could not be Jesus, is there's no letter J in the Hebrew language. But there's a lot more important reasons for this too, because what I'm going to show you is, and part of this is actually in my book that I wrote, Who is the Messiah of Israel, that when the Hebrew name of our Savior, Yeshua, is hidden, there is so much written about him in the Old Testament that you will miss. Absolutely things that you will miss that I'm there, that I'm going to show you today, that he is everywhere written in your Old Testament, if you only know who he is. So, first of all, I want to make the simple statement, like I did when I was going over the name of Yahweh, that names are transliterated, they're not translated. I have a glass of water in front of me, refreshing, and in English we call it water, in Hebrew we call it maim, maim, you know, maim. The two words have nothing to do with each other. They're not phonetically similar. It's a translation. One language it's called water. One language it's called ma'im. But names are not translated. Names are transliterated. What do I mean? Well, what I mean is whatever your name is, no matter what language, no matter what country you go to, your name is going to stay the same. Your name doesn't change. In the Bible, we have thousands of names. Every single name in the Bible is transliterated except for two. Adom is Adam, Moshe is Moses, Aaron is Aaron, Nehemiah is Nehemiah, Moshe, you know, I said Moshe already, David is David. Every name is transliterated, meaningly that the Hebrew name stays the same with a little bit of phonetic difference, according to what language. The only names that are totally changed is the name of Yahweh, taken out, like I said, in the Old Testament alone, almost 7,000 times and replaced, and the name Yeshua, our Savior. So why would that be? Why would that be? Because there's power in these names. There's a lot of power in these names. Power for healing, power for relationship, power for so many things. And the name of our Savior Yeshua, as I'm going to show you here in a few minutes, it's so powerful that if Satan can hide that name from you, he can hide the meaning behind it. Okay? So another thing that's very interesting is, if you look at the name Jesus, there's no etymology to it. What do I mean by that? I mean that it doesn't mean anything. It's a hybrid name. It's a hybrid. It's a very bad, poor transliteration. It's a hybrid. And in Greek, that name doesn't mean anything. And in English, it's a transliteration from the Greek. It doesn't mean anything. But the name Yeshua, it was prophesied that the Savior's name would be Yeshua. I want to read the scripture here. I'm going to go to Matthew, the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter. And in verse 18. Matthew 1 and verse 18. And it says, at the birth of Yeshua Messiah was this way. For his mother Miriam had been betrothed to Joseph. Before coming together of them, she was found having babe in womb by the Holy Spirit. But her husband Joseph, being just and not willing to make her a public example, he purposed to divorce her secretly. And as he was thinking about these things, behold, a cherub of Yahweh was seen by him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Miriam as your wife, for that in her is generated by the Holy Spirit. And you will bear a son, and you will call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, very interesting, if you look in the Hebrew language that this was originally written in, Hebrew or Aramaic, it's very much, it's a language that's written in syntax. It's written in poetic form. And many times in the Bible, you'll see thousands of references like this, where there's word plays. There's word plays. The father will say something, and then he'll do it on a word play all over the Bible. Maybe another program one day will even go over some of these word plays. But this is exactly one of these. It's one of the proofs that definitely this was written in originally in the Aramaic or the Hebrew, but not in the Greek. Because he says, and she will bear her son, and you will call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. See, it's a metaphor. He's saying his name, and then he's telling you what the name means. What does the name Yeshua mean? In Hebrew, the word for salvation is Hoshua. Hoshua, like the prophet Hosea. In English, we'd say Hosea. In Hebrew, you'd say Hoshua. So Hoshua or Hosea means salvation. Yahoshua or Yeshua is Yahweh's salvation, or Yahweh saves. So that's why he says, you'll call his name Yeshua, for he will save his people from their sins. Clearly he's telling you that is his name. His name is salvation, saving. Where the name Jesus does not mean that. Like I said, not to put anybody down or put down your faith. It's not to do that at all. I used the name Jesus for probably the first 15 years of my calling as a believer. I had miracles happen. I had healings happen in that name. But when I found out, when I came to Israel and I found out that our Savior's name is really Yeshua, not Jesus, I didn't take it as a point to fight. Or I just took it as, thank you, Father, that you've revealed another point of truth to me. Because there's power in that name. There's power in that name. Is it very important? Is it very important? Well, Acts 4, the book of Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 10. I want to read to you verse 10 through verse 12, and I want to show you how important it is. It says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that in the name of Yeshua, Messiah, the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom Yahweh raised from the dead, in this name, Yeshua, this one stands before you whole. This one is the stone rejected by you builders, the one who has come in to be the head of the corner. And there is salvation in no other man, for neither is there any other name under heaven having been given among men by which we must be saved. So I don't think this is just semantics. I think it's extremely important for the people that are really seeking out the truth, because it says there's no other name in heaven where people will be saved. And that name, clearly, as it was written back almost 2,000 years ago, was the name Yeshua. Really interesting that there's actually a prophecy that talks about this, and it's in Exodus, the 23rd chapter. Exodus 23, I'll read it. Exodus 23, verse 20. And this is when the Father was talking to Moses and to the Israelites. Exodus 23:20 says, "Behold, I'm about to send a messenger before you to guard you in the way and to bring you to the place which I have prepared. Be on guard before him and listen to his voice. Do not be rebellious against him, for he will not forgive your transgressions. For my name is in him. For my name is in him. For if you fully listen to his voice and do all which I speak, I will be an enemy to your enemies and will be a foe to your foe." So here it was. Who was the messenger of Yahweh? Clearly, it's another whole program we can do on that. But you could clearly, 1,000%, you can prove that Yeshua, the son of Yahweh, was his messenger that was there in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant. And he says, he's sending him. He's sending Yeshua. We know from Corinthians 10, he was the rock that followed them in the wilderness, right? And what does he say? He says, "Be on guard and do not be rebellious against him, or he will not forgive your sins." Who else beside Yahweh the Father and Yeshua the Son can forgive sins? But he says, "Because my name is in him, Yahshua, Yahshua." Yahweh is the family name, another program we will do, maybe even in the next couple of days. I think that's an important subject for you to get down before we really move on to other things. But Yahweh is actually a family name. It's a family name consisting of Yahweh the Father and Yahweh the Son. And he is creating many, many more sons to salvation through us. So extremely important. Now, I want to show you another scripture here in the book of Acts that's a very interesting scripture when we're looking at this subject of the name of our Savior. And it's in Acts 26. Acts 26. I'm going to start in verse 12. Now, this is where Paul is telling about when he was knocked down on the road to Damascus. And he's going to talk about this, and it's a very interesting subject, this particular scripture, with the topic we're going over. So Acts 26 and verse 12, it says, "In which also traveling to Damascus," this is Paul talking about, "with authority and decision power from the chief priests, at midday along the highway, O king, I and those with me saw a light from heaven shining around me above the brightness of the sun. And all of us falling to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew dialect, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the stakes.' And I said, 'Who are you, sir?' And he said, 'I am Yeshua, whom you persecute.'" So very interesting here. How do we know that it was Yeshua? Because he said he spoke to me in the Hebrew dialect, which was either Hebrew or Aramaic, one or the other. They're, like I said, very similar. But he was speaking in the Hebrew dialect. So Jesus is not a Hebrew name. There's no letter J in Hebrew. So if he's speaking in the Hebrew dialect, clearly he's going to say his name, which is Yeshua, Yahweh's salvation. Yahweh's salvation. I think as long as we're on the subject here for a minute, I should also say that the character of Jesus that the Christian world has portrayed, you know, of this very weak, skinny, frail, long-haired person, you know, European-looking person that did away with his father's law and did all these things. This character is actually, it's not just his name that was changed, it's the whole character. Because let me tell you something, your Savior, number one, he did not have long hair. Corinthians 11 says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. Very, very clearly we could prove that. You know, that in the days that Yeshua walked the earth, people did not have long hair, they had normal hair. And when they came in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, they had to actually have a sign to which one was Yeshua, because they all looked the same. Judas had a sign with the guards, you know, the one I kiss, that's the one. Because they all look the same. He wasn't a weakling. He was a builder. He was a carpenter. In those days, he worked with a lot of stone. He would have been very strong. And he certainly did not come to do away with Yahweh's Torah, Yahweh's law. We will extensively, probably for a whole week, go into the Torah from the New Testament. But Matthew 5:17, Yeshua clearly said, I did not come to do away with the Torah, but to magnify it, to make it larger, to explain it. And that's one of the biggest lies that these pastors in Christianity is telling you today. And in the other program I said, we will talk a lot about Revelation 12:9. Satan has deceived the whole world. And a big way he's deceived that world is through Christianity, sorry to say. And we are going to get into the truth. We are going to show you these things from Scripture that you may never have heard in your life about the true Sabbath day, about the holy days of Yahweh, and all the things that His Word says and the wonderful things that are in there, apart from the religion and traditions of men. But the real Yeshua is very, very different than the Jesus character that Christianity is portraying to the world. Very, very different. Well, our time is running short. Boy, it's amazing how quick 28 minutes can go, right? And I only have a few minutes left. So what I want to do is I want to show you why this is very important. Beside the fact of knowing His real name and praying to Him and calling Him His real name, whatever your name is, my name is Don Esposito, and I wouldn't really like it if people kept calling me Bill or Jim or Nick or something else that wasn't my name. I think it would be disrespectful, especially if you knew the name. So I think it's the same with our Heavenly Father and with His Son, our Savior Yeshua. Like I said, the third commandment is we're not to take His name in vain, and that literally means to change, to falsify, or to make it common. We're to honor His name, respect His name, uplift His name. So believe me when I say it's important to know these things. But another reason is His name is encoded in the Old Testament hundreds of times. And I want to read you some scriptures here to show you this. I want to read Psalm 18. And I just finished about a year ago a new Bible translation. I have it right here in my hand. It's the Hebraic Roots Bible, a literal translation. You can go to our website, www.coyhwh.com. You can download the Bible for free if you'd like to. If you want a hard copy of it, we do have hard copies that we can send out for a $25 donation. But we're never selling things, selling the Word of Yahweh or whatever. Freely you receive, freely you give, and we try to do that with all things that we do. But in Psalm 18, I want to show you how in the original Hebrew, our Savior's name, you see Him clearly there, that you will not get in the translation into English. So let me read. I'm going to read Psalm 18, starting in verse 32. 32, 33, 34, 35. Then I'm going to drop down to 46 and 49 and 50. It says, it is El, or Elohim, who girds me with strength and gives my way to be perfect, setting my feet like the deer and making me stand on my high places, teaching my hands to war, so that a bow of bronze is bent by my arms. You have also given me the shield of Yeshua, and your right hand holds me up, and your condescension has made me great. Verse 46, Yahweh lives, and blessed be my rock, and the Elohim of Yeshua be exalted. Verse 49 of Psalm 18, on account of this I will extol you, O Yahweh, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name, magnifying Yeshua, his king, and working mercy to his Messiah, for David and to his seed forever. Now, like I was just saying, if you do away with the Savior's real name, Yeshua, and you change it to a hybrid name of Jesus, you would never, ever know that his name is written there in the Hebrew. They could use words like deliverance or saving or whatever they're using, but literally in the Hebrew is his name, Yeshua. Let's go to Psalm 20. I'll show you another. And this is all over. It's all over in the Old Testament. Psalm 20 and verse 5, it says, we will rejoice in Yeshua, and in the name of our Elohim set up banners. May Yahweh fulfill all your prayers. Whenever you see that setting up banners, it's a messianic phrase. So it fits right in. Now I know that Yahweh saves. His Messiah, he answers him from his holy heaven with the mightiness of Yeshua, his right hand. These trust in chariots and these in horses. But we will make mention of the name of Yahweh our Elohim. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. O Yahweh, Hoshua the King, answer us in the day of our calling. Wow. Wow, isn't that awesome to see this? Look at Psalm 28. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Yahweh is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I helped, yea. My heart greatly rejoices, and I will thank him with my song. Yahweh is their strength, and he is the fortress of Yeshua. He is his Messiah. Save your people and bless your inheritance and feed them and lift them up forever. Wow. Psalm 42 and verse 5. O my soul, why are you cast down and moan within me? Hope in Elohim, for I shall yet thank him, Yeshua, to his face. Friends, all over your Bible, the very name Yeshua of our Savior is there. If you only know what his name is. Let me look at another one here. Isaiah 62. And verse 1. For Zion's sake I will not be silent, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not hold rest, until a righteousness goes forth as brightness, and Yeshua as a burning torch. Verse 10. Pass through the gates, prepare the way of the people, raise up the highway, clear it from stones, lift up a banner over the people. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, Yahweh has made it heard to the ends of the earth. Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, Yeshua comes. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of Yahweh. And to you it shall be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Wow, wow. You know something? I have barely touched the surface. I have barely touched the surface of the importance of our Savior's name. But like we said in Acts 4 and verse 10, there's one name under heaven where all men will be saved, and that name is Yeshua the Messiah. I have a tape on this. The tape is called The Name Above All Names. You can get it for free on our website, www.cohyhwh.com. If you have any comments or questions, you could write to us at our New Jersey address, P.O. Box 832, Carteret, Carteret, New Jersey, 07008, P.O. Box 832, Carteret, Carteret, New Jersey, 07008. This is being broadcast to you from Israel, from the Holy Land, where we live. Our mail goes through New Jersey, so any comments, please write. Go to our website, www.cohyhwh.com, and you can download anything you'd like for free. So thank you, friends, for being with us today, and may Yahweh bless you until tomorrow. Shalom from Israel.